It's been 20 years since the beginning of American Idol. It just crowned its 20th champion, and it has inspired imitators and parodies. For a time, you absolutely could not get away from it and from its many auditions and performances, both good and bad.
It's also a show that actually made people stars. So we asked you to vote for the best American Idol contestants of all time. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. And today we're talking about American Idol and counting down your favorite contestants on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Talkspace. Spring is a great time to declutter and start fresh. The same goes for you and your mental health. Talkspace makes it easy. Working with a therapist can make a huge difference. It's a flexible and convenient way to get high-quality care and connect with one of their many licensed therapists. Match with your dedicated therapist today at Talkspace.com. Use promo code HAPPYHOUR during sign-up to get $100 off your first month.
Joining us today is the co-host of the podcasts Fanti and What a Day, journalist Travell Anderson. Hello, Travell.
I am so excited to be here. This is going to be amazing.
We are all very excited, as you will discover. We have many, many thoughts. As I mentioned in the intro, American Idol debuted in 2002. You had your Simon Cowell, Randy Jackson, Paula Abdul judging panel. It became a huge success. Judges came and went, formats came and went, but it ran on Fox until 2016, at which point it supposedly came to an end. But of course, it returned in 2018 on ABC, where it has been, I would argue, mostly ignored. If you are not aware that it just ended a season, it did. On May 22nd, the show, which is now judged by Lionel Richie, Katy Perry, and Luke Bryan, along with, of course, all the people who still vote, crowned Noah Thompson, a country singer from Kentucky, shock of shocks, as its 20th winner. So what we did is we asked all of you to vote for your favorite contestants. We did tell you that they had to be finalists, not just auditioners, meaning no William Hung. Sorry about that for the William Hung fans. And we are going to count down your top 10. I want to start by having producer Candace give me a little music.
I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Oh, you may say.
Of course, that is
David Archuleta.
David Archuleta coming in at number 10, the season 7 runner up. I really forgot that his highlight was his performance of Imagine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here's the thing about David, okay? I like David. Would he be in my personal top 10? I cannot say so. But this performance of Imagine is a great one. I replayed it back. It's a beautiful one. Great notes, great singing. Shout out to David.
He can sing. I mean, that's the thing. Like, he was not an exciting performer to me, but he can sing and he seemed like a nice kid. And when I reached a certain age, it was like my criteria were, he can sing. He seems like a nice kid.
Yeah, I think he seems like such a nice boy. is sometimes a recurring theme with American Idol contestants. I mean, this was the season when David Archuleta went up against David Cook, mm-hmm. who was more of a rocker. And it was interesting to see this kind of quasi-generational divide take shape, because David Archuleta's fans, obviously this is a gross generalization, but he had a little bit more of kind of a boy band kind of following, mm-hmm. like a very, mm-hmm. very, very intense, very young fan base. And David Cook, for lack of a better word, came off more authentic, you know, authentic American Idol style.
Yeah.
It was an interesting season. It was like, you look back on it, that's the season with the Davids.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, David Cook also seemed like a nice boy.
Sure.
And he could sing, you know.
Sure. He was like 25. It's not like he was.
But I think it's interesting that we're starting with David Archuleta, because I put David Archuleta in the category, and we will see some others. The category of beloved runners-up,
yeah.
who in some cases have outlasted the winners of their seasons.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to move on to number 9. Candace, hit me with some tunes.
My mother was a tailor.
She's so my new blue jean.
Again, a voice on that that singer, one Haley Reinhart from season 10. This is about where I quit American Idol as a regular viewer.
Not this performance.
No. Nothing against Haley Reinhart. Travelle, do you have Haley Reinhart thoughts?
You know, my disclaimer for this entire conversation for the listeners is that, you know, I come from a type of singing. We call it flat-footed singing, right? Where you could just stand in one place and like pull everyone's attention. You don't really have to do too much. Right. And so I say that to say, I remember liking her performances during this season. I watched through season 12 with winner Candace Glover, but I remember liking Haley, but not like loving her. There always felt like something was missing for me. Even this performance that we just heard, it's fine, you know, but is it like iconic? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
My disclaimer is I mostly quit watching American Idol sometime around season 9. Mm. I was really, really, really burned out on the judging. And by season 10, your judges, you know, you still had Randy Jackson, but you had like Steven Tyler. Mm. So I had to go back. I had to go to YouTube and watch a bunch of Haley Reinhart performances to even get a sense of what she sounded like. And a strong singer, but I felt miscast, kind of miscast genre-wise. They kept giving her like, here, sing Led Zeppelin. And mm-hmm. her voice, it's a little high and thin for some of that kind of like singing Fleetwood Mac. At one point, they had her singing Fleetwood Mac. So I liked her. I appreciated watching one of her performances. She's like strutting around wearing like these very, very high heels and absolutely eats it, mm-hmm. kind of walking up the steps to get back on stage and like finished the song with a strong vocal. So if nothing else, I can see how Haley Reinhart would maintain a certain level of grassroots support because she was very game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I also think she's a good example, and you hear it in that clip. She's a good example of the show's glorifying of some very showy singing, like some mm-hmm. very, to me, often comes off as a little bit forced, either mm-hmm. as people have spoken about many, many, many times, the melisma or the growl mm-hmm. or the super big note. And the thing is, like, the people who are good at those things, they're good at them. It's not a fault in the singing. But I do think sometimes because the performances are relatively short on Idol, they're kind of forced to get to the place that a singer would normally get to after like 4 minutes of singing. Mm-hmm. But they have to get there after like a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. So it can kind of seem like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like,
yeah. And I think it's a little harder for certain types of singers to do that, right? Because like I think of a Jennifer Hudson, I think of a LaToya London, I think of a Fantasia.
For sure.
They can get to that point really quickly because they come from the Black church, right? And we know how to get people up and out really quickly.
Exactly.
Right. And I think other types of singers who might not come from that background, it does feel a little forced. It does feel a little, my word would be inauthentic, right? When trying to do that type of thing.
All right. We are going to move on to our number 8 pick. Not only, well, I'm just going to play the clip. We're just going to play the clip. We're going to listen to it. Don't fall away and leave me to myself. Don't fall. Okay, so here's the thing about Chris Daughtry, our fourth place finisher in season 5. The thing about him is I would argue this is a guy who is actually quite good at being a kind of singer I don't care about, which is a thing that I find hard to judge. Like, he's good at it. It's just not my thing at all.
Same. I similarly feel like he's a great singer. I did like him during his season. I've liked a lot of his songs that have come out since the season. But it's one of those that like, am I going to directly turn it on? Not sure.
Yeah.
But he was good. And he deserves like all of the attention and accolades that he's gotten since the show, for sure.
Yeah. One of the more successful non-winners the show had ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this is where I want to talk about one of the reasons that I watched American Idol as closely as I did was that I really enjoyed watching star-making machinery. I looked at the show a little bit the way Simon Cowell clearly did, where Simon Cowell was sitting there judging not necessarily like whether you were pitchy,
yeah.
but whether you were commercial,
yeah.
whether he looked mm-hmm. at you and saw dollar signs in his eyes. So when I look at an artist like Chris Daughtry slotted very neatly into a category that was very, very popular in the mid to late aughts, which mm-hmm. was the kind of honga-donga-dang singer, the kind of everything's a honga-dang-a-dang.
I forgot about honga-donga-dang. It's been a long time since I heard that.
And what it is it's about sixth generation Lane Staley, Eddie Vedder.
Exactly. Scott Stapp.
You're going for that grungy urgency. And Chris Daughtry did that really, really effectively.
Yeah.
And when he did that, like, I'm going home song that they used as their, like, going home song, it was a very effective song in that genre.
Yeah. Also in the category of dudes who were, easily slotted into the moment in which they arose. We're going to hear our next clip.
People always told me, be careful what you do. Don't go around breaking your girl's heart. Mother always told me, be careful who you love. Be careful what you do before the lie becomes a trap.
I'm not sure how I feel about Billie Jean as a Hunga Dunga Dang song, but if it's going to happen, it's going to be David Cook. And that was him. The season 7 winner won over, as we earlier mentioned, David Archuleta. How does that strike you?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. It just, again, something was off. And I know that this performance in particular has been ranked like the best performance by Variety. And no shade, that just means the folks over at Variety have no taste, in my opinion. Because
No shade. It's just the worst opinion I've ever heard.
Yeah, I said it. Because to me, that performance just like took a lot out of that song.
Uh-huh.
Again, for me, it's always that thing that they do in American Idol, right? Where they want to take a song, but they want to make it new, right? And it just did not hit for me. Great vocals, you know, overall. Want to give him his credit there. But again, I'm glad that he's on the list where he's on the list here and not higher up, because I would be very upset, just saying.
This song really captures for me one of my big pet peeves with this show. The performances on American Idol are covers.
Yeah.
This is a perfect example of a cover of a cover. He's not covering Michael Jackson. He's covering Chris Cornell covering Michael Jackson, but then getting credit in the judging for his incredible inventiveness. At least Ryan Seacrest, when he introduces the song, says, performing Chris Cornell's cover of Billie Jean. But there are other examples of this show. The singer Chris Allen did a cover of Kanye West's Heartless. And again, it had that same like, wow, how did you reinvent that song? Well, he was covering The Fray.
Yeah.
The Fray had done a cover of Heartless in that style, and that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
And so this performance getting held up as this avatar of like, wow, this incredible reinvention really frustrated me. It was a stronger vocal than I remembered, but it was not the blazingly original take that it was made out to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me in that sense of Glee, which sometimes would come up with these versions of things where people would be like, ooh, but then you would figure out like, oh, that's Jonathan Coulton's Baby Got Back. That's why it's so good and so clever. But yeah, I have similar feelings about these covers of covers. We are going to move on to one that many of you are waiting for. Hit it.
Wow.
So the thing about Clay Aiken was the season 2 runner-up in 2003, lost to Ruben Studdard. The thing about Clay Aiken I think is so interesting is that he has not really become a pop star, but he has become a person with a following. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't mean that to be negative necessarily. It's just like he doesn't have really hits in the traditional sense, but he has people who will follow him anywhere still. even 20 years later, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's wonderful for him. Didn't he run for office in his hometown where he lives at?
He has run for Congress several times.
I believe he's been on Broadway. No shade. He never factors into my memory of, you know, important or like revelatory performances. But I love that he has, you know, his following and people who love him and, you know, go where he tells them to go.
Yeah, he's a perfect example of somebody I think the show didn't entirely know what to do with because the show was trying to mint pop stars and Clay Aiken didn't sound like a pop star. Mm-hmm. This was the Clay Aiken Ruben Studdard matchup. I was ardently Team Ruben and continue to be to this day. Yeah. You know, I listened to that clip and I'm just like, oh, the unearned gospel choir. That is the most unearned gospel choir I have heard in a while. I root for Clay Aiken, but musically, he was never for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never been able to figure out exactly what string he plucked in people, but whatever it was very, very successfully done because they still love him to this day.
Yeah.
So he, as we mentioned, was not the winner of that season. We are going to move on to somebody who was the winner of their season. I must say, this is Fantasia Barrino, one of their best winners ever, season three. That is a tremendous performance of Summertime. Travell, you were in heaven while that was playing.
Listen, this is the only reason why I'm here, to stand Fantasia Barrino, okay? No shade. I am Fantasia's biggest fan. Anybody who follows me on the internet knows this, all right? I mean, what other winner, right, was a New York Times bestseller and then adapted their New York Times bestseller into a Lifetime original movie and played herself with Viola Davis as her mother and Loretta Devine as her grandmother, directed by Debbie Allen? Are you kidding me? Like, come on. Like, just iconic behavior. She's going to be in The Color Purple adaptation of the adaptation of the adaptation later this year. I can go on and on about a one Fantasia Barrino and all of her many performances. I mean, stop me now, Linda, okay? I will make this whole podcast about Fantasia.
I think that everybody should follow Travell and check out everything they have to say about Fantasia Barrino and all of the Fantasia Barrino accomplishments and others. Steven, I'm sure you appreciate Fantasia.
I am subscribing to Travell's pro-Fantasia newsletter right now. I loved Fantasia when she was on the original season, and I've delighted at Fantasia's continued ongoing success, which is a very, very, very hard thing. As you may have noticed from some of the other names we've mentioned, that is a very, very hard thing to maintain. It's one thing to pop, to kind of spring up and be very famous and then fade. And even a lot of the very, very successful American Idol contestants over the years popped at first and then faded. And that's, there's only so much stardom to go around.
Yeah.
The fact that Fantasia has continued to be successful as an actress, a singer, a theater performer, you know, with a distinct voice, she just didn't sound like everybody else, which is just part of why she's lasted.
Yeah.
I think also when you read the book, if you're like me, or watch her movie, and you find out a lot of the like social stuff behind the scenes that she was also dealing with, because she was a baby mama and, you know, she was like the first, I would call her a hood girl, right, that had made it to this level of the competition of American Idol. Like, she was dealing with so much and still came out on that stage and gives us a performance like Summertime that really changes the game. And no one has done a performance of Summertime like that ever in my life, at least. And I just think she deserves all of the things. She has some up and downs in, you know, culture. But yeah, she's one of the most legendary and iconic contestants and winners of American Idol, bar none.
Absolutely agree. Also, that song is a perfect marriage of singer and song, I think, which is one of the things that served her so well. All right, we are now going to move on to an American Idol contestant who has since won 8 Grammys.
So
So that, of course, is Carrie Underwood, one of, I would say, the most commercially successful people they have discovered slash promoted on this show. Season 4 winner in 2005. Actual hits, including Before He Cheats and some others. Travell, Carrie Underwood person?
Before He Cheats. Louisville Slugger. Are you kidding me? Okay. Carrie Underwood is probably like my third top American Idol. But what I would like to focus on, that run of winners, those first few seasons, Kelly Clarkson, Ruben Studdard, Fantasia, Carrie Underwood. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like all iconic in their own different ways. And Carrie Underwood continues to this day, right, to be a country starlet. She's got so much going on. And she deserves it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I misjudged Carrie Underwood when she was originally on American Idol. I viewed her as kind of robotic, a very, very, very gifted singer, but not somebody who was really putting any personality into her performances. So I found myself kind of, at the time, not particularly rooting for her to win, even though she was obviously going to win, didn't think she was necessarily going to be a major star. And I was just completely wrong. It is very, 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 very hard to have and then sustain a career as a woman who is topping the country charts. Mm-hmm. The country charts are very, very, very dude heavy. And she has managed to maintain this really great career. And, you know, Before He Cheats has so much personality that I did not see in her American Idol performances. So I was wrong about Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was too, dude. All right. We have now reached the top three.
All right.
The top three as voted by you. Number three, hit it, Candace. That, of course, is the great and good Travell. Who is that?
That's the one J. Hud, honey, okay?
Absolutely is. That is Jennifer Hudson, who competed in season 3 in 2004 and finished embarrassingly for the show.
Embarrassingly for the show.
Yes.
Seventh. Embarrassingly for the show and its voters, finished seventh. And then, of course, went on to, you know, win an Oscar, become a really decorated actor, win 2 Grammys out of 8 nominations, won a Daytime Emmy, meaning she's now, as Stephen pointed out, she is a Tony Award away from her EGOT, and I would be shocked if she does not get it.
Listen, season 3, okay, LaToya, London, Jennifer Hudson, Fantasia, when they were in the bottom three, and everyone was like, are you kidding me? Voters at home, what are you doing? Do you not like Black women? What's going on? J-Hud has continued to just like grow and grow and grow. She just played Aretha in the Respect movie last year. She has so much going on. Like, I love her. And she was another person who, interestingly, dealt with like a lot of commentary about her body in the earlier parts of her career. Even now, I would say she still gets a lot of that. And to see her kind of push through, she's experienced so much trauma and strife in the public eye as well. Like, she's another one of my faves, absolutely. Her debut album that came out after American Idol, like, come on. The girls aren't making music like that anymore. I'll just say that.
Yeah, just synonymous with the public doesn't always get it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was not terribly well-served by this show. This show happened to serve as a massive launchpad for her career. You can't, who knows what her career trajectory would be without this show. But obviously, she has showed everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. All right. We're going to move on to number 2. All right. Well, speaking of people, as we were with Clay Aiken, who have their people who love them many years later, that is Adam Lambert, who was the runner-up in season 8, lost to Chris Allen. That was Adam Lambert singing A Change Is Gonna Come. Travell, give me some thoughts on Adam Lambert.
You know, Adam was never my cup of tea, but I was like, oh, that dude is super talented, deserves to go far in the competition. And to see the kind of career that he has now, like, would have never conceptualized that Adam Lambert would go on to do that. But you're right, Linda. So many people, like, literally stan Adam Lambert.
The only thing I would say about him, I was not a fan of him when he was on the show. To me, it was all just very affected and, you know, talented, but also kind of, you know, I never know how much it has to do with the fact that some people who had annoying internet fan bases at the time, it would turn me against them. But I went to the American Idol live tour. And when I saw him perform live, he was very much at that performance in a David Bowie kind of mode. I thought, I get it. He was very charismatic live. He was very interesting to watch live and very slithery in the way he intends to be. And I had to give it my respect.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I was not a fan at the time. My take on Adam Lambert at the time was sort of, man, just because you can hold that note for 30 seconds doesn't mean you should. A lot of loud is the new good singing, like a lot of just this like really, really forceful bellowing that felt like a vocal showcase that didn't necessarily feel musical to me. I know that everyone is currently yelling at me on the internet as you're hearing this, but he just never, ever did it for me. But you talk about the career that he's had afterward, you know, he was singing in Queen, doing Freddie Mercury in Queen. That kind of thing he's extremely well suited for. And that voice is completely undeniable. I didn't like his performances on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it will probably not surprise you as we have arrived at number one. I don't think this is a shocker.
No.
I think this is a very reasonable choice on the part of our voters, even though I don't know if this would have been my number one, but let's hear it. All right. That is, of course, the very first person who ever won this nutty show, Kelly Clarkson, the season one winner, later talk show host, actual pop star, very successful person in general. Travell, tell me about Kelly Clarkson.
You know, we have to bow down to the OG. Okay. Now, I went back and looked at some of her performances, including that clip that we just played. No shade, not always the best vocal. But we gotta give her the credit, especially with the career that she has had since. I mean, since you've been gone, she's got so many like classic hits in her discography. And so like she absolutely deserves to be number one, even though I would have put Fantasia there. But she absolutely deserves to be number one. She's amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Not necessarily the greatest vocals, but she was a really good and I think versatile performer, which in that first season they really liked. They had that 40s week and she did stuff like that there, which people really liked, which is kind of a, you know, Andrew Sisters-y kind of little song. And I think she understood the assignment, as they say. Stephen, what do you think?
I loved Kelly Clarkson on season one of American Idol. I have loved Kelly Clarkson's singles to this day. You mentioned Since You've Been Gone, Behind These Hazel Eyes is such a great song. Yeah, I just think she's phenomenal. I think she's so fun and cool. I've loved watching her career unfold. I mean, when you talk about degree of difficulty, it's hard enough to win this stupid show. It's hard enough to then follow that with an actual pop hit, which a lot of winners of this show have not. But then to sustain a career is really, really remarkable. I mean, you think about one of the things they tried to have her do in the immediate aftermath of her win on American Idol was put her in a movie called From Justin to Kelly with Justin Guarini, her runner-up on season one of American Idol. And the movie was a catastrophe and is kind of a cult item at this point. But everybody somehow blames Justin Guarini for that with none of that sticking to Kelly Clarkson. It's just a sign of how persistent she has been able to be, in addition to putting out great song after great song after great song. I love her. I think she's one of the greats.
I do think out of all the pop hits that people have put out after appearing on this show, Since You've Been Gone is probably my favorite in terms of like I could listen to that 25 times in a row. We want to know what you think about American Idol, who your favorite contestants are. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Stephen Thompson, Travell Anderson, thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
What a couple of superstars. And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second, sign up for our newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. This episode was produced by Candace Lim. Thank you so much, Candace, and edited by Jessica Reedy. Hello Come In provides the music you're bobbing your head to right now. I'm Linda Holmes, and we'll see you all tomorrow when we will be talking about the new Hulu movie, Fire Island.